Rafer,
yes, Kristen.
You know when something feels good, but it feels good maybe in the way that it's not supposed to feel good. You know, like
the old song, it can't be wrong when it feels so right.
Is that how it goes?
Loving
you is wrong. I don't want to be right.
Oh yeah, right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
And... Well, Kristen, but really, what are you talking about? That's the real question.
I think you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Rafer.
I do know what you're talking about. We are talking about movies. You're talking about two big movies coming out this week that I think you and I both enjoyed, but perhaps not in the way they were intended.
Maybe. Maybe you didn't enjoy them the way you were supposed to.
Mm, all right. Maybe so.
We'll see. We'll see about that. But we'll talk about that in a second. But first, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday. And this is Movie Date.
All righty, Rafer. We have an exciting show ahead where we talk about what feels good and what feels bad. And maybe it feels bad, but the bad feels good.
We should say, just briefly, so people actually understand us, that we are talking about Lawless, the new Shia LaBeouf prohibition movie. You know, gangsters, bootleggers, machine guns,
all that good stuff,
fast jalopies, and The Possession, a new horror film about a possession.
Yes.
So there's those are the two big movies: gangster movie, horror movie. There's also a children's movie opening up, which I'll talk about. But very briefly.
Yes. But first, let's talk about trivia.
Yes.
During the week that Sparkle came out, we asked listeners a trivia question about Whitney Houston. She turned down a role because she didn't want to appear in the nude in a film. Back in her glory days, she was offered a lot of film roles. Which one did she turn down because she did not want to appear in the nude? And who did the role eventually go to? We have a great, very thorough answer.
Hi, this is Ken in New Jersey, and I think I know the answer to your trivia question. The question about what role was turned down by Whitney Houston because of nudity. I think it possibly could be two different films. One could be Introducing Dorothy Dandridge, which ended up going to Halle Berry, but I think the answer is probably Monsters Ball, which, interestingly, also went to Halle Berry. That's my guess for the movie date.
Excellent.
Ken, excellent work. That's fantastic. Very good. And remember, if you ever know the trivia answers, call us at 5717-MOVIES. And we have a new trivia question today, Rafer.
Yes. So since we're talking about Prohibition-era movies, we came up with this question. Which Marilyn Monroe film takes place during Prohibition? And if you know the answer, 5717-MOVIES.
Or log on to facebook.com/moviedatepodcast. And now let's talk about the ups and the downs and the feeling good and the feeling bad of movies this week.
Yes. Well, speaking of feeling bad, let's talk very briefly, and I'll keep this as short as I possibly can, the Oogie Loves in The Big Balloon Adventure.
Circles. Circles. Oh, circles. How I love circles. Oh, and roundness. And dots. Oh, and polka dots. Oh, I love polka dots. And circles. I love movies in circles.
Now, this is a movie I'm guessing our core audience does not care about. But
sounds so freaking awful.
That is Cloris Leachman.
Oh, my God.
That you just heard as Dottie Rounder.
Didn't she win an Emmy or something at one point? Isn't she like an Oscar nominee?
The film is filled with respectable and perhaps not so respectable stars. Chaz Palminteri, Cloris Leachman, Christopher Lloyd, Jamie Presley, Toni Braxton. A completely random group of celebrities. It's almost as if they just walked down a lot and just picked people off the lot and threw them in the film. This movie is essentially by the guys who brought you The Teletubbies, and it's about, you know, fuzzy, actors in fuzzy wuzzy costumes, a lot of baby talk. Kids are supposed to be standing up in the audience. There are little on-screen cues that say, you know, get out of your seats and dance, and songs and counting.
Get out of your seats and leave the theater.
Yeah, exactly. It is pretty tough to sit through. Again, you know, the common criticism of Teletubbies was that it was not really educational enough. And I would say the same for this movie. But I would go a step further and say this movie is not even actually entertaining. It really just sort of occupies your eye. You know, this is for a child who is very young. But I feel like you could also achieve the same effect by just spinning a little spiral toy in front of him for 90 minutes. His eyes would also be occupied that way. And I will just say, I'm not alone. This film looks to be going down as a major, major disaster. On Rotten Tomatoes, I think it's about 33% of critics liked it, and only 25% of the audience liked it. It opened up with a cumulative gross. This was Wednesday of $102,000. That's $47 per theater. So this movie is really taking its lumps, and I just wanted to sort of, you know, bring my own hammer and give it a couple of lumps as well. It's really the thing about these movies, about kids' movies. My complaint about them is always this: the kids may sit through it, but I have to sit through it too. Why can't you give me something that would entertain me even just a little bit?
So, pay Ray for $47.
Yes, I'll give you the $47. I'll give you the extra $47. All right. That said, now that we've trashed the children's film, let's turn our attentions to The Possession.
Where's my box?
I got rid of it, Em.
Tell me where it is.
It's not here.
I'm calling Mom.
That's not happening. And if you keep talking to me like this, you're going to be grounded the rest of the weekend.
I don't love you.
Ooh.
Oh, that's scary stuff, Kristen.
Spooky father-daughter conflict.
Yes.
But this movie isn't just about father-daughter conflict. This is a movie about, like the title says, a possession.
A demon spirit.
Yes. So let's talk about this. We have a father, his two daughters, his wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, new ex-wife.
Yes, I think already ex-wife. They're already divorced. So this is a classic horror trope, right? You've got the family whose defenses are down, right? They're sort of, their immune system is down as a family unit, and so they're open to these foreign hosts.
Yes, and when you're open to the foreign hosts, the possession happens.
That's right.
The possession. Which the demon, I have to point out, is in a box.
Yes, a little wooden box that the smaller of the two girls, becomes enamored with for some crazy reason. I don't know if it's the Hebrew lettering or the fact that it seems to be sealed like a small tomb. I don't know why she's so enamored of it, but she buys it at a yard sale and makes the dreadful mistake of opening it.
Yes, and we hear the phrase often, "Where's my box?"
Yes.
"Where's my box, Dad?"
Right.
"Dad, show me where my box is."
I think you've had enough of the box, Em. So this is Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays the dad, Clyde. Kyra Sedgwick plays the mother, Stephanie. Now, what did you think of this, Kristen? How did you like this as a scary movie? I want to point out, this is pretty tired terrain. We've seen this story before. There's a possession. There's an exorcism. The little girl freaks out. People start seeing things, weird voices, blah, blah, blah.
But you know what? It's not just typical, because this possession isn't with a Catholic demon that a priest comes and rescues you from. This happens with a Jewish demon.
That's right. It's a Dybbuk. That's right.
That the Hasidic folks from Brooklyn have to come and rescue you.
The audience at the screening that I was at, I think you were and I were at the same screening.
Yeah, we were at the same screening.
Burst out laughing when the father, poor Jeffrey Dean Morgan, is thinking, God, where am I going to find Jews? Where can I go to find a whole lot of Jews? And it happens to be like East Brooklyn. He goes to Williamsburg, essentially. And the whole audience just like broke out into an uproar. I thought that was very funny.
So you sound like you're laughing a lot.
Here's the thing about the movie. I do want to say, I don't know if you felt this way, but I think that Jeffrey Dean Morgan is kind of an underused actor.
He's great.
He's really charming in this movie, right? I think he's pretty appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was really into him. I'm like, I'll hang out with you. Let's have a beer.
Yeah. He usually gets these roles. You know, he was in Watchmen, and I think he may have been in 300. Usually he gets these kind of roles that you kind of forget about him. But he's good in this movie, I think. Here's what I would say about this film. It's so tired and so familiar and so overdone that I feel like the director, I'm going to mispronounce his name, Ole Bornedal, I think his name is, did a movie called Night Watch a few years ago. I think he just basically decided, oh, what the hell? Let's at least have fun with this stuff. And I think he just kind of goes for the gusto and just turns it all into kind of a big laugh riot. And I felt like a lot of it was so familiar and so corny and so recognizable. It was almost like watching an old 50s sci-fi film where you start laughing as soon as the robot raises his laser gun because you've just seen it so many times and you kind of know what's coming and you're kind of happy about it. And I actually found it kind of entertaining. I'm not sure if that was really the intent of the screenwriters necessarily, but I feel like the director had a sense of humor about it.
So you saw it as a comedy.
I really honestly did. I saw it as a comedy. I thought it was at least half the time purposefully funny. When it tried to be actually scary is where I thought it mostly failed.
I have to totally disagree with you.
No kidding.
I was scared.
Really?
I was screaming. Didn't you hear me in the back of the theater?
You were drowned out by the laughter.
I was screaming.
You're screaming at that.
I thought it was the same old stuff. You know what? The same old stuff can feel so bad or so good.
Well, there you go.
Or so scary.
And to me, I
found it very scary. But that doesn't mean it was a bad date.
Okay.
I thought it was a great date.
I thought, if you're a teenager and you want to take your girl to kind of a funny, scary movie, maybe a decent date. I think if you're a discerning film fan who's seen this stuff 8 million times before, you're going to get a chuckle here and there, but I don't really think it's going to be worth your while exactly.
And if you're not discerning at all and just like to have fun like me, awesome.
Or if you're a fan of Mattis Yahu, the Jewish rapper who shows up as the rabbi.
He's actually
one of the movie's real bright spots, this kind of twitchy hip hop rabbi. He's really funny.
Yeah. Love
so
him.
A few good things to recommend there, but I'm going to stop short of saying, you know, go spend your money on The Possession. All right, should we talk about Lawless, Kristen?
Yes.
This is serious stuff, Lawless.
Lawless.
I'm not a bit like you, Naren. I've never been like you.
Jack, it is not the violence that sets man apart. All right, it is the distance that he is prepared to go. We are survivors. We control the fear. And without the fear, we are all as good as dead.
All right. Lawless. Rafer.
So we've got an all-star cast here, right? We've got Shia LaBeouf as one of the youngest of a trio of bootlegging brothers. The oldest is played by Tom Hardy, who's everywhere these days.
Yeah. We have Jessica Chastain playing a love interest of Tom Hardy.
Yep.
We also have Mia Wasikowska.
Mia Wasikowska. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Who's
the love interest for Shia LaBeouf.
She's a preacher's daughter.
Yes. The proverbial preacher's daughter.
Yes, that's right. And it's all during the Prohibition era. We've got these bootlegging brothers who are doing just fine in Virginia, in the wettest county in America.
Yes.
And they're paying off cops and they're paying off everyone. Everyone's happy with the arrangement. It's pretty peaceful. There aren't too many shootouts or anything in their county. However, a new deputy comes to town.
Charlie Rakes from Chicago.
Yes.
And basically appoints himself king. And it's a little difficult to tell whether he wants to actually shut everything down or whether he wants a piece of the action.
Yeah, and he's played by Guy Pearce in a very strange way, I might add.
Let's save that because I want to talk about that.
Okay.
I want to talk about Guy Pearce as Charlie Rakes. My understanding, because you and I were on The Takeaway this morning and talking about this, my understanding is that maybe you weren't that thrilled by this film.
Really? My feeling was maybe you were a little too thrilled with this.
Hmm.
Were you drinking some moonshine while you were watching this?
I drank that Kool-Aid.
A little bit of Liquid Lightning?
Well, here's what I want to say. I think this movie you were saying it's The Wettest County in the World, I think, is the name of the book that this is based on, which was kind of a fictionalized version of the author's actual Virginia ancestors. Matt Bondurant is the author. So I don't think this stuff actually happened, but this was kind of his romanticized version of, you know, how it might have been. But it does have this ring of historical authenticity. However, on the flip side, I think it's also just a work of total macho pulp fiction. And I think that blend, that potent brew, if you will, works really well. And I really dug it. I know. Put that on your poster. Movie studios. Okay. But I feel like it worked really well because it had a little bit of the gravitas of a period piece, but a lot of the goofiness of just a shoot 'em up gangster mobster film. And I thought that blend was perfect.
You know, I thought it looked really pretty.
Yeah.
It was like a live action Dorothea Lange postcard.
All
the colors, the costumes. Everybody looked great. Those jalopies that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Chugging along in your jalopy while you're drinking some moonshine out of a ball jar. Great.
Right.
Great. Love those details. Also, I really like some of the actors in this movie. I thought Tom Hardy was terrific.
Yes.
I thought that Jessica Chastain, she's always great.
Yes.
I love Jessica Chastain. However, I really thought that some of the acting, some of the characters, I really just didn't know what to make of them. One of them, Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, you really? What? This is actually the first film I've seen of his in a long time where I thought he was well cast and did a really solid job in this as this character. You know, he's kind of he's the younger,
the wimpy brother.
Yeah, he's the shy, tender one, and I think that works for him. But you didn't like it?
I just found him irritating and spineless, and didn't quite understand who he was other than irritating and spineless. And much worse though than him, in my opinion, was Guy Pearce as the deputy from Chicago.
Now, tell me why you didn't like Guy Pearce, because I thought he stole the show. I thought he was hilarious. I thought it was like a gonzo performance. I thought he was funny and menacing and colorful and weird. I loved him in this movie. Why did you not like him?
I felt like he just stepped off the set of Blazing Saddles or some other movie entirely and walked into this movie, and I didn't quite understand what he was doing there. Everybody else kind of looks like the era and the place and the time, and he just looks like he's out of some sort of comic book.
Well, he's from the big city, so
he's got the jazz age
hair and the bow tie. He's dressed up like F. Scott Fitzgerald, basically.
And he talks in a weird way.
Yes, he talks. I love that. He talks like a Nazi scientist through the whole film.
Yes,
oh,
it's like,
oh, this is terrible. this won't do. Next time I come down real hard. And I just, something about that just cracked me up. And he just goes nuts at the end of the film. And I loved it. And here's what I would say. Without him, without Guy Pearce, I feel like this film would have been a bit more self-serious, a little more of a drag, and a little more somber. And it doesn't have quite enough heft to be somber. And so I feel like Guy Pearce sort of buoys it up and brings it sort of back into the fun arena. Do you know what I mean?
I just don't know what he was doing there.
You just found him. You found him bizarre. In other words,
I just found him bizarre. It's like Indiana Jones walking into Star Wars. Like, what are you doing in this movie? I don't know why you're here. And everything about you is so freaking weird.
That's very funny. That's very funny. Well,
he is so weird in this movie.
Yes, he is. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the critics, this is still Friday. I have not read all my fellow critics' reviews, but I think I'm going to be interested to read those reviews and see how other people come down on his performance because, you know, I can see where you're coming from, but I just dug it. I was just with him the whole way.
So this is a good date for you.
Totally good. Here, you know what it really struck me as? It struck me as the first kind of an early leaf of the fall season. It feels a little bit like a fall
poetry.
Movie. Do you know what I mean? Like it just it
no,
has.
No,
that...
I don't know what you mean. I have no idea. I like that thing you said about the leaf and the fall. That was nice.
Well, but... it feels like it's the first movie in a while that is like a good, lush-looking Hollywood entertainment piece that's not sort of a dreary biopic. It's not a shoot-em-up. It's not a
superhero. It's all these things. What are you talking about?
No, but you know what I'm saying?
It's not a biopic and a shoot-em-up.
No, well, anyway, I feel like it strikes the right balance between a serious, well-made movie and kind of fluffy entertainment, and I liked it for that.
Whereas
so I say good date.
I say it's a pretty bad date. Sit home, drink some of your own bathtub booze. Just sit in the bathtub and drink booze. Hmm. That's my recommendation. That's a much better date than this movie.
All right.
A bad date.
Well, all right, Kristen. So let's close out with our trivia question and see if anyone can get this.
Yeah, let's remind everybody. This is a prohibition question.
This is a prohibition question in honor of Lawless. Which Marilyn Monroe movie takes place during Prohibition? If you know, give us a ring, 5717-MOVIES.
All right, let's have a drink, Rafer.
So barmaid, bring a pitcher, another round of brew. Honey, why don't we get drunk and screw?
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.
I just bought a water. It's filled up for me and you. They say you are a snuff queen.